Congratulations! You're listening to Congratulations Pine Tree, the Bay's number one arts and culture podcast with me, Kate Rose.
And me, Maysoon Wazwaz. This week's episode is being recorded out of Kate's car.
And I'm driving the car, so we're really on one today. The apocalypse, the election happened on Tuesday. We're recording this on Friday. And
we're behind.
It feels like the election was 18 years ago because so fucking much has happened, including the apocalypse. It's basically Blade Runner skies out here.
The apocalypse of California, specifically.
There's a major wildfire happening north of Sacramento, and all the smoke is just injecting directly into the Bay Area.
There's also a major wildfire happening south of San Francisco in Ventura County out of L.A.
I feel like people are sad about the election, but it actually was a good result. I think people got their hopes up that the Democrats were going to take back the Senate, and it just really wasn't very likely that that was going to happen. So I think people should feel good about the national results. And, like, in San Francisco passed, and that's pretty major.
That's true. I feel the same way. I was with 100 Days Action, the artist collective I'm part of, had an election watch party on Tuesday night. And there were a few people who were just like devastated, moping like crazy. And I was like, come on, it's still good. There's still like so many wins, I feel like, in Congress, you know.
Were they sad at when Ted Cruz won Texas? Was that the breaking point?
I think they just thought that we would win the Senate.
Yeah, that was really, really unlikely.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like the map was just abysmal for Democrats this year.
I think there's just like a general like, oh my God, this country is so bad off that people are actually voting for the folks who are running, like the Republicans who are running, who are just like out and about bigots kind of a thing, you know?
Yeah, the guy in Iowa, Steve King, straight up legit Nazi dude.
Yeah, I mean, I think that's just sort of like, wait, is this, that's real? This act, people actually voted for him knowing that.
Yeah, I mean, it is hard to like comprehend how we could live the past 2 years and not have absolutely 100% of the votes go away from Republicans.
Yeah,
that is, as you know, a progressive person. Oh, I'm getting in a car crash. And I gotta say, now that the election is over, it's time for the Kate Rhodes campaign to get all the California progressives to leave California. We gotta move back into these you know, less populated states like Wyoming. We can go to Michigan. We can go to Pennsylvania. Let me know if you're thinking about it, and I'll set you up with a group.
Do you have groups all over the country? Are you going to start some coalitions?
Yes, I have. Yes, I know many artists all over the country. They're ready to receive you and welcome you into your new home. So, listeners, no pressure though. Because not everybody can just pick up and move and. I'm not wanting to make anyone think they're like a bad person if they stay in New York and California. That's 100% up to you. But I would like to encourage you, and I will be encouraging you for the next 2 years.
You know, I did some canvassing during this election. We went out to Modesto and Turlock.
Yep.
And we did specifically nonpartisan work just to get out the vote, and specifically worked with this group called Mi Familia. So it was sort of about getting the Latino vote out. And so that was awesome to kind of partner with an organization that's like embedded in the community already.
Yeah.
And I was scared shitless. I was like, oh my God, people are going to hate us. They're going to be like, what the fuck are you doing here? You pain in the ass San Franciscan liberal, blah, 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 blah. But it's like, actually, we went to like, I think me and my partner had 30 houses that we had to go to. And it was really just like, hey, an election's coming up. We see that you're registered to the vote. We want to make sure you're getting out to vote.
Yes.
And if they're like, yeah, I'm going to vote, then we ask them kind of like, what's your plan? When are you voting before work, after work? Just to kind of get them like thinking about when they're logistically actually going to do it, which is sort of like the next step in actually doing it.
Yes.
And people were lovely. People were just like, oh yeah, I already voted. You know, they were just like, bless you for doing this.
Did you high-five them?
I didn't do any high-fiving. It's not a conservative community, but definitely like a little bit reserved, religious kind of. I mean, at least the people we were talking to, there were a lot of like, this is a Catholic household sign on the doors and stuff.
Yep. I was out there on election day. I was canvassing with the straight up California Democratic Party. And it was kind of a similar thing where it's like, hey, do you know how you're getting out there? and where you're going. And, you know, I had all the information, like, to know where someone's polling place was, so I could be like, this is your polling place. Like, do you have a plan to get there? Do you need a ride? Like, some people would give rides to people to the polls, which was, I didn't give one to anyone. I think that might have scared me.
I actually really wanted, I was going to take the day off work to just like rent a zip car and go drive people around. But it didn't seem like there was a lot of need, at least with the group we were working with.
Because as much as you probably don't want to give a stranger a ride, they don't want to take a ride from a weirdo. But
anyhow, the thing is, I mean, I don't know. Do you know if they finally settled the vote between Harder and Denham? Because last I checked, they were still counting mail-in ballots.
Yeah, I don't know either. So election results are still coming in. The apocalypse is on the horizon. Take care of each other.
I want to say also, if you don't have to go out this weekend, don't. Just don't. Man, this fire is bad. It's like level red over here, for air quality at least.
Yes. So what else is going on, Mason? You got a long list.
I got a list. There's a bunch of openings this weekend. Et al's opening both spaces because they're crazy like that. Going nuts. They've got two shows.
No,
of course not. They have their mission space. Ratio 3 Capital and the Et al Mission location are opening on Friday night. That's tonight. You won't hear this. And then Et al.
You might still have a chance.
Et al. Yeah. Et al Chinatown opens on Saturday. Of course, I don't have names of anyone who's there, but that's okay. You know, their show. You know what their shows are like. They're going to be good. Go check it out. Go say hi.
Am I yelling so loud?
Kate's on one. She's had too much caffeine, as usual. what else do we have here? We have this weekend, there's Pacific Felt Factories having their open studios.
Well,
October is usually open studio month, but I'm surprised that there's a bunch of open studios this month as well. They're over at 2830 20th Street. Go check them out. They're the best. Also on Saturday, I believe that is a protest to bring down fascism. The Trump-Pence regime must go. Protest nationwide Saturday, November 10th, 1 o'clock in the Embarcadero Plaza. See you there, people. Get your signs ready. We got to still get to it.
Yep.
I guess that's the other thing I want to say with the election. It's like, shit is still fucked up. The election is not the only time you can take action. If you feel mobilized from taking action during, like, for the midterms, like, just keep it going. There's lots of things you can do still. Like, there was for the governor's race in Georgia with Stacey Abrams, or they're recounting all of those votes, which is, you know. Anyhow, there was an opportunity to either text or call voters to get, because the way that they had to count, they had to send voters back to the polls to, like, check that their vote was counted.
Jesus Christ.
So there was, like, you can do that from your house in California, actually. Like, that's, the technology allows us to do that, which is amazing and great. All Saturday night, the Growlery is having an opening. It's called Space is the Place.
Ooh.
A San Francisco funk lesson. Wow, a San Francisco funk lesson. And it's curated by the 3.9 Art Collective.
Oh, wicked.
Friends of the show. And they're going to have a series of readings later on in the month on November 17th at 7 p.m. So go out to the Growlery on Saturday night for that show.
I forgot to talk about it, but I went to a talk at CCA like a week or two ago. Oh, it must have been 2 weeks ago, where this guy, it was kind of around this guy. His name was Jarrett.
Oh, you can't. That's
Do you remember his last name? Some dude wrote this book. Some dude wrote this book about writing about art, and he interviewed shit tons of art critics and made a book, I think, of interviews about them. But this guy did not sit well with me, Maysoon. I don't want to, like, just be a hater. But
okay.
He basically really went to bat for Dana Schutz.
Oh, that's right. Oh, wait, there's a DeYoung. Let's pull over.
Okay. It was a round table with lots of art critics of the Bay Area, including, like, Bean Gilsdorf and Brandon Brown and Rula Saikali. And this guy...
So many people.
Yeah, it was a huge... Yeah. And this guy, Jarrett... I can't remember his last name, who just put a book out. And the thing kind of seemed to be organized around this guy's book. And it was, like, available there for sale by Wolfman Books, which, God bless Wolfman. But, man, this guy was the worst.
Oh, no. Do you think other people were feeling that way about him? Could you read, like, the body language on the panel?
Yeah, I think Yeah, I was a little surprised that none of us kind of took the dude to task, because he was like, first off, he's...
We're also polite here. That's the biggest problem in the Bay Area.
I don't know. Plus, it was a very intimate setting. We were all just sitting around a big table.
Oh, right. You were saying it wasn't like in the screening room or in like a big nave area. It was like in a tiny little spot.
And anyhow, I'm slurping down on a vegan milkshake the whole time. I didn't realize it was going to be that kind of setting. I thought I could just kind of slither into the woodwork.
Yeah, nope.
And anyhow, this guy was, the more I've thought back on it, this guy, he's like, oh yeah, I used to live in the Bay Area, but now I live in New York. And like, whenever I talk about anyone from the Bay Area in New York, everyone's like, who the fuck is that? And I'm like, why is that?
Ew.
I know, right? And it's like, I'm sure there's shit tons of New York people that are, like, super prominent if you're in the New York scene, and we would have no fucking clue who they are.
Yeah, tons of them. Tons of people.
Every place has its own people.
Why would he even say that here? It's just such a bitchy thing to say, to be like, oh, you know, Bay Area people are so insignificant almost, right? Like, what is his point in saying that is what I want to know.
Yeah, I mean, he had kind of a friendly... He talked about, like, David Ireland and how here David Ireland is almost like a deity.
Yeah.
And, like, but nobody in New York has ever heard of him. Well, see, that's... like, now when I re-say it, it sounds so bad.
Aw.
But at the time, it didn't... I wasn't, like, listening to him talk and being like, wow, he's being a huge asshole.
Yeah.
But then he did come up and say this thing about how, like, he doesn't understand why the ethics of an artwork need to be considered in criticism, basically. And he was basically like, oh, so-and-so, I forget that her name, but there was this woman who was a filmmaker for fucking Hitler in Nazi Germany.
She's famous. I can't remember her name, though.
And he was like, her films are incredible. And then he was like, or that Dana Schutz painting of Emmett Till and blah, blah, blah. And I kind of was ready to get ramped up, but I didn't know who the fuck the Nazi woman was, so I kind of got stuck on that. Are you looking up her name? And then... that really sent me off into a tailspin, because I just feel like...
Lenny Riefenstahl, who was known for, like,
the Triumph of the Will. Yeah. Maybe I can see in the Bay Area that people really do, like... I can see in the Bay Area that, like, that is... I think oftentimes, like, the primary evaluation that is done in criticism here of, like, what is the political and ethical impact of art, and I can... What do you think?
Well, I just feel like so much of contemporary art is not just about like what it looks like, but about what the content is or what it means, what the concept is. So if we're talking, you know, so I feel like if the concept is embedded in, you know, racist history, it has to be critiqued for that. And also the artist cannot escape that critique. Like,
oh, no shit.
It's their hand. Like, they're the one making the commentary. Like,
yeah.
It cannot be separated.
Oh yeah. And I don't think it does any service to Dana Schutz to just completely look at that painting as
like a bust or something. Yeah.
Yeah. As just like only evaluated aesthetically when she then why would you even have
you
subject matter?
Subject matter. Yeah. Or subject matter in general. Yeah, good point.
So that didn't make any sense to me, and now I'm upset about it.
That's such a weird argument to have. It's so like lazy or something. I don't understand that. And he wrote a book, like his book was about criticism or?
It was like a whole collection of shit tons of interviews with all these different, like he talked to Rosalind Krauss and all kinds.
And this guy, can you tell me if he was a white man?
Sure was.
Oh, okay. It's never surprising. I mean, I am surprised, but I'm also not surprised.
Damn. I'm just like, if you go to a museum and you got a motherfucking artwork that is a fucking nest of wasps that come out and sting you, you're not going to fucking talk about, like, the color and contour of your fucking wasp sting welts.
Right? Yeah, no kidding.
Yeah, I just feel like if the shit is doing something in the world, you don't just fucking ignore that.
Yeah. And I think criticism is supposed to be acknowledging that also, right? Like acknowledging what an art does to you as a viewer.
And also I've been looking back because, you know, I love Andrea Frazier and her number one love and obsession is this French sociologist named Pierre Bourdieu or whatever, Bourdieu. And he wrote that book, Distinction, a Critique of the Judgment of Taste or something like that. And I'm sorry I keep bringing it up to like everybody I've been talking
to. Is it on your reader? your art history reader?
The introduction is, if you want to listen to me read the introduction to it, you can go to theoryreader.com.
Why don't you link to that? Link to that in the underworld.
Okay, but I really struggle with anything in French or German, and there's some shit in there. Okay, but point is, he wrote this whole book that was basically about how your taste is dictated by your class background and like your education level. And he did all these studies back in the day where he surveyed people about their taste in all kinds of culture, including like food and clothes and music and like if you go to museums. And it just really breaks down completely along class lines. So, and he's kind of doing it as like a response to Kant, who like Kant was like, oh, to be the perfect art viewer, you have to be disinterested and you have to have like this pure eye. Mm-hmm. And basically Bourdieu was like, you know, if you have a life of leisure and a life of ease, then you can like divorce, you know, your aesthetic experience from your material existence. And I just feel like that's the thing, like, how can you ever think that you actually know what's good or bad without thinking that you're like a fucking god?
Well,
anybody who has read it is going to be like screaming at their iPhone about how I'm not actually explaining any of this right at all.
Hey, Colin, you know how to do it.
Oh, yeah. Give us a call, 419-351-6606, or you can tweet us at Pine Tree Podcast, or you can email us congratulationspinetree@gmail.com.
Can we really know what's good or bad?
So right now I'm dropping Mae Soon off at the De Young Museum.
Yeah.
What are you going there for?
I'm going to try to sneak into the Carrie Mae Weems talk.
Why do you have to sneak?
Because it's sold out.
They'll let you in.
I don't have a ticket, so I'm asking some friends who work here to see if they can. I mean, I'll stand in the back or sit on the stair. I don't need a proper seat.
Oh, yeah.
I love her work, and I've never seen her speak before, and I feel like I'm super excited about it.
Oh, I saw Sarah Hotchkiss and Stephanie Raffles.
Royal Nonsuch?
They have a show up at Royal Nonsuch Gallery, and I didn't know until I got to it that their work, their sculptures and everything, are responding to the fucking, like, stimulation toys and activities that they give animals that are like in zoos or like aquariums and shit like that. They like make weird like games. I think they're called like enrichment devices or something like that. Like, for example, to like provide them with mental stimulation and when they're in confinement or whatever. So they're all like based on different weird things for birds and fish and who knows, otters.
Fish.
There's literal live fish in the show.
Really?
And a shrimp. And Sarah Hotchkiss did a beautiful painting of, I guess, one of the first mazes. I don't know if they were, it was like a mouse maze. I'm sorry again, my journalistic integrity is trash, but I would highly recommend this show. I give it 5 out of 5 stars with my godlike judgment. I strike a bolt of lightning down and say, go to this show.
Go to this show. I went to, last week I went to CCA's Wattis, their 20th anniversary party. And it was game themed. And everyone was wearing glasses. And I missed your video.
You bitch.
I know. I really wanted to see it was the one where Kate had all these faces on all of her fingers.
Okay, look here. That is the... I don't like to toot my own horn, but that was the best video I've ever made.
What?
And I'm putting a link... I'll put a link to it down.
Put a link to the other world. They don't own it, do they?
I don't think so. They didn't make me sign anything.
Good. Anyhow, it was a really big party and it was fun and nice to see people, and they had a really funny cake. They had cakes there for like the anniversary, and the cakes had pictures of all the different employees that have worked there throughout the decades, which I thought was really funny. But they didn't have the gallery open, so that was kind of annoying because I haven't seen the Leonie Geyer show yet. I was like, guys, you can't have the gallery open while you're doing this too? Two birds with one stone? Nope.
Don't want all those people drunk on cake going in there and messing up the art.
No one's going to do that. It's a Wattis crew. They're all very contained and proper.
Okay, we have a bunch of listener feedback this week. Arts-related question I'd like to get your expertise on from Kathy Liu. Is it weird to apply to a grant and also write a letter of recommendation for someone else to apply to that same grant?
Yes.
What an interesting question.
Yes.
Wait, that's weird?
Yes!
Oh.
Because I think, I think Kathy, I know you and you're so lovely and I love that you want to, like, you know, give other people opportunities. But the reality is that it's competitive out there and you're applying for a grant. By you writing a letter of recommendation for someone else to apply for the same grant, it's kind of like, I feel like it's almost like canceling out your opportunity. Like, just, I don't know. I wouldn't do it.
Okay, shit. You know better than I do on that.
I don't think the panelists will have anything to say about it. I just feel like you should put your energy in getting that grant for yourself. And that's okay. You write letters for other people for other opportunities that you're not also trying to get. I don't know. I think that's okay.
Okay.
But what you probably would do, you'd probably do the same thing as Kathy.
Well, Maysoon, I feel like you probably have the best advice.
Well, but we can have differing opinions.
Oh, well, you're having a concern that, like, okay, you got to look out for number one.
Yeah.
And just, you know,
it's
at
okay.
this time, you know, later on, if you need to write a letter of recommendation for this person, go for it for something you're not also trying to get. I feel like my concern, if I was in your position, would be, does it look weird to the people who are going to judge it? And I don't think that it would look weird.
I think it depends on how many applications there are, right? But I think they'll probably notice and be like, oh, that's funny. It might be like oh, that's funny that she did that. But I don't think it'll work against you, let's say. Hopefully, unless you're a really fucking good letter writer. But
yep.
That might actually play in your favor then, too. What if you both get it?
Okay, I'm just going to just sign on to Maysoon's advice on that one because I feel like she knows better than I do. Oh, yes, George Fowl wrote to us. Okay, glad you're back for season two. Okay, we got to check the email more often. Okay, he says, I'm a League of Pissed Off Voters fan. They just posted this and it seemed like something you should already know. Spacecats.org. Oh,
yeah.
This is that awesome fucking voter guide. We fucked you over, listeners. There was an incredible voter guide. If you go to spacecats.org, you can still go back and see it. And they made the most incredible Kat Brooks as an astronaut shooting lasers out of her eyes. That was my favorite shit ever.
One of my colleagues had that with them at work. And I was like, this is amazing. It was such a fun voter guide. It was like, you know, space green, and
I love that. Also, just a note to listeners, the last painting salon is going to be, maybe, because I remember, because Sarah Tebow might be handing it off. That is going to be on November 29th from 6 to 9 p.m. at Royal Nonsuch Gallery, wouldn't you know it, with motherfucking Craig Calderwood!
Ooh, let's go!
Yeah, we got to go to that. Everybody's got to go to that, okay? It's also going to be an unofficial Congratulations Pine Tree meetup, so just go to that, okay? And we'll be there. We'll sign autographs. JK, nobody fucking wants our autographs.
I'm going to make buttons for that. When is that?
Okay, a reminder, November 29th from 6 to 9 at Royal Nonsuch. Now, remember, they're still at their new space at 300
they're
Jefferson.
Still at their new space? Yeah. I hope so.
People invited us. We're so sorry we haven't been checking the email.
We've been a little bit delayed. We've been kind of caught up in the election season, so we apologize for our late response to your emails if you sent us one.
Yes, yeah, so thank you, everyone, for the emails. And especially to Jack Fisher, who's got to show up. And we'll be seeing you from the bridge.
To the other bridge.
To the island in between. This has been Congratulations, Pine Tree!